It's time for Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday, where we will discuss spiritual, mental, and physical health issues. It's Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday on YAT Radio.
All right. Welcome to Breaking Chains, Healthy Mondays with yours truly, Dr. Ruby McMillian. You're a biblical health professor and health and nutrition coach. Tonight, we are doing the second part of our series on handling anger and our emotions. Ooh, last week, we had a good talk. Of course, you know, we look at other research books and we look at other psychologists and psychiatrists about our emotions and our feelings. But as a believer, we have the best, hey, Wadena, we have the best resource to guide us. We have one that is like no other. It's called the B-I-B-L-E. It is the one that we use as our guideline in the body of Christ. And that's where I'm coming from this evening to talk about our emotions and how to have healthy ones. I don't know about you, but it took a while for me in some areas because, you know, there are things that we go through that causes us to become sometimes, and God forbid, bitter. We have resentment, we have anger, we have unforgiveness, we have a lot of stuff in our trunk. So tonight I want to be as plain, as transparent as possible as we talk about this matter in care fronting. That is a word that the Lord gave me that I coined, I heard somewhere, but I coined this part of it. I heard about caring and then confronting. But he talked with me, hey, sweetheart. He talked to me with me about care fronting. And the reason why he did that with me about care fronting, because I used to be an angry black woman. I was. I really was at some at years ago in my life now. Thank God. So I have no place to pass judgment or say anything to anyone on Healthy Mondays to pass judgment or criticize. We just want to get healthy, but we have to tell the truth. And when I look at, as in researching and looking at this, I would bring this and open up the program with it. I found online the A to Z Guide to Feelings and Emotions. And it stated that it was from Laughter Online University. I don't even know if there is such a thing. But it captured my eye. And it said emotions are event-driven. Get that? While feelings are learned behavior that are usually in habitation until triggered by an external event. So I want to give you some of my grandmother's wisdom. She said about two things. She said, well, when people get those spirits in them, they have a lot of stuff to say. It's already in there. So it is then coming up. It's no longer in hibernation. It comes up because you're full of yourself. And the other one that she talks about, she said, you don't really have to do anything except put a boiler of water on the stove and turn up the heat. And baby, when it starts boiling, smoke starts flying. So the same with our emotions. But we know that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And the word promises us that, listen, all things are passed away and we are becoming new. So now let's get right to it and let's get to the hard stuff first. Because there is anger, there is unforgiveness, there is bitterness, there's jealousy, there's strife. It's alive and well, and it's alive and well in the body of Christ. Yeah, I know it was because, again, I want to just talk about me. All right. I see one of my dear brothers who's on here tonight. We're talking about healthy emotions. And if anyone has come to know about my past, I believe we've known each other at least 45 years, if not 50, and know the woman that I used to be and the woman that God has graced me to be today. So it is so good to see you, Pastor Paige. I just have to just get right in here with that because I've been trying to phone you all and still didn't get anyone. But that's okay. I love you. But tonight I'm here to do my job on Healthy Mondays with Dr. Ruby. We want to talk about managing, first of all, acknowledging that we have an issue. We cannot resolve the matter if we're in denial and we don't acknowledge that we have anger issues. We don't have bitterness issues. Yeah, it's there. Once we acknowledge the thing, then we can go to God and we can ask for the Holy Spirit to help us. Because this is a truth. We are saved through Jesus Christ. That's our justification. We are being saved. That's the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. And then we are going to be saved when we get the, our glorified body, is what I want to say. When we get to heaven, we will have eternal life. We will be there where we can always praise. But until then, we have a work to do. There's a process. But we have the Paraclete. We have the Holy Spirit that can help us. Or it's like a lot of us say, the Holy Ghost. We can ask the Holy Ghost for help. He's such a gentleman. He loves and he enjoys helping us to become who he needs us to be. So why don't we look at, after we have number one acknowledged it, why don't we look at the root of anger, of some anger? Let me suggest to you maybe that the common roots of anger include some of these areas, not that it's all of it. I want to share with you that some of it comes from fear, pain, frustration. For example, some people become angry and fearful of reaction of uncertainty. Maybe the fear of losing a job. You know, those triggers, those switches, because when things are close to us, and there's a threat to it, there is either we're going to have one or the other. We're going to have fear or we're going to pray. We won't do both. Because the word of God tells us in Matthew 6:32 that we don't need to worry. Because today has enough stuff for itself. But it did tell us in 6:33 that we need to first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, the way to do things according to the B-I-B-L-E. That's right. According to the basic information before leaving this earth for us as believers. All right. And also, we can look at sometimes when people have anger issues. It comes from hurt in relationships. Help me right here, God. Help me, Holy Ghost. Being hurt in relationships are caused by pain of close friends. Oh, my. Yeah. Those things when I really don't want to go off in one particular area because I could really stay here and finish and almost open up this book about betrayal and marriages and that particular area. But I want us to think a little more outside of just a husband and wife relationship. I want us to go to our all relationships. I want us to come to those mother-daughter. I want us to look at mother-son. I want us to look at, our aunts, aunties. This one's free. Holy Spirit just clicking me. Yeah, those between your pastor and yourself. Woo! Because, you know, as leaders, we teach, we minister, you all look at the leaders in the body of Christ, for those who feed you. And there are times that we place the fivefold ministry on a pedestal. And whatever vessel is presented in, whether it's male or female, sometimes we forget that this body is made of dust and clay and that we have emotions. God knows that when he made us, that we, the way that he wired us, that we have emotions. But according to the kingdom of God, the righteousness, the way that we are supposed to handle ourselves, it's going to have to be a process. You know that once there was a separation between the creation of man, between Adam and Eve, you know that separation and the fruit, the knowledge of good and evil, we have it now. Okay? We're saved through grace, through Jesus Christ. But there's a soul in here. There is a soul in here because our spirit is saved. This right here, this flesh here, this is not saved. This is forever having a crushing. This is forever having to be pruned, pricked. This is forever having to be modified. This is forever have to be laid hands on. And sometimes the hands that's being laid on us, sometimes they're not the hands that we want. But, yeah, I want to say that. Not the hands that we want, but sometimes it's the hands that we need in love and prayer, but care fronting it. Earlier when I opened the broadcast, I talked to you about a phrase called care fronting. In the body of Christ, I believe there's a scripture that tells us that we are supposed to encourage, we are supposed to edify each other, we're supposed to build each other up according to the word of God. That's how we're supposed to do it. But the word of God also lets us know that if there's a fault that we have, an ought against each other, we need to go to that person. And we need to try to address this matter and talk with them about it. However, if that doesn't work, because we do have a strategy about this, about our emotions, our feelings, you know, going into those areas of being offended. So if we can't do it straightway, if I can't go to you, Wadena, I can't come to you, Pastor Pace, straight up, and some things are going on, the word tells me that I need to take a witness. I need to get someone else and go with me. And we need to talk about this, because the more that we can talk about it and get clear and come in love. Because when you come in like this, or when you come in, you know, the sisters, you know, and the brothers, hi, Annie, you know, when you come in like this, no, no, no. That is not the way. Oh, my goodness. I am just about to go through something here. Oh, and I didn't bring any. It's okay. When we're about to talk with them about what we thought we heard or we thought they did, you know, I've heard this so many times. Say, Pastor, you know, for 2 weeks you didn't speak to me. And I look at them and go, baby. And they're like, you didn't speak to me. I give my tithes and offering. And I just have to, because wisdom here is the principal thing here, I just have to embrace them and let them know, sweetheart, no, no, no. Do not be offended because I did not personally call you or I did not personally put my arms around you with something that was going on or whatever. But, no, I don't have any favorites at the City of Refuge or at the Common Touch Empowerment Center. I don't have any favorites. There is a ministerial team, but no. So I want to let you know that when we are care fronting, and we are contending for the faith, and we are believing that God is going to bring about a change and that healing and what you need, but you have to also remain. I know this is Holy Ghost. This was not even in the script. You have to remain. You can't be church hoppers. We're still talking about leaders. When the word of God is taught, and it's something that you don't agree with, or it's something that crushed you, or, I mean, because, listen, the word of God is either going to draw you, or it is going to push you. But more importantly, what it is going to do is bring you up close and personal in the mirror, and you're going to see yourself. Because the word always identifies our heart to us, not to somebody else. I used to do that. I used to do this thing. Because somebody said, yeah, that word needs to be for somebody because they need to be here to hear that. No. That's not just for that other person. That is, in fact, a word that needs to permeate in your spirit so it can start modifying the flesh, killing out those things. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about modifying the flesh here, too. But when you remain in the body where you're being fed, stay planted, grow, bloom where you are, I assure you that if in fact the Holy Spirit led you to that place, just because there was something that made you uncomfortable, something that you felt that you didn't quite understand, and because you are not the pastor, there's really only the headship. There is pastor of praise and worship. There's the senior pastor. There's the pastor of intercessory prayer. There's several pastors. There's pastor of the evangelistic team. There's the pastor of the financial team. So with all of these headships that are helping under the auspices, first of all, of Christ and under the Holy Spirit who planted the church, and then you have the under-shepherd, whoever the senior under-shepherd is, those are the ones that's looking out for your soul. So these are the ones that you want to go and get godly counsel. What does the word tell us? Let me go here. What does it say? Psalms 1. Oh, I know you all know that. It says, I'm going to get it. It says, listen. It says, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. It says, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it do you meditate on his laws day and night. All right, so you have to make sure that you then get godly counsel. In the body of Christ, you don't want to go out and talk to other people, your sister, girlfriend, maybe, you know, or someone that's a novice, someone that's just newly saved, I want to say, someone that has not been seasoned in the word. That's not where you get your counsel. You want to get wise, godly counsel. And that's why the mothers are in the church. Because we're to teach you all. Oh, yeah. At about 70 now, there's a lot of things when I was 20, 25, 30, 35, and 40 years old that at this just precious time in my life now, I feel like I just need to reach out and embrace you and hug you and bring you in, because a lot of the stuff that makes you hot-headed and a lot of the things that you don't understand right now, we've already been through them. And so we want to help you overcome to be healthier now. And I know God set me right here to do this, because there are some people who know me from 25 and 30 years ago, helped me, Holy Ghost, and he really did. Okay, so we understand where some of the anger comes in. But let's look at what the word says, that after you've acknowledged it, all right, and then you start real godly counsel about it, because you recognize that you have noticed what you have been noticing in your daily life, and you've noticed that at certain times you have triggers, and you've noticed that if you've made decisions during that time when you were in those triggers and you were fussing, cussing, and you're doing everything else, man to woman of God, you know then that we need a little help in that area. And we're not the only one. But if you confess the thing, I love this about God. What does he say? 1 John 1:9, I believe it says that if you confess your fault unto God, not unto your brother, your sister. Hey, my brother, there, not to just my brother, my sister, but unto God. This is where you can go and lay out, tell God all about it. You don't have to worry about your stuff being told to someone else. That's where you can get absolutely, if I can say it like I feel it, but naked truth. Bring it out. Because that's what God wants from us. He wants us to speak from our heart, not just from our lips, just little things, and not just in our emotions. You wanna talk to him about what you really feel, because you need to get that part healed in the areas that you really feel caught up about. Only the blood of Jesus and the help of the Holy Ghost is going to heal you in those areas. Because there is really no thing, no place on you, no place on earth, no place in your body that cannot be healed by God. But you must give it to him. Because what did he say in his word? He said, come on. Come on, children. Come on. He said, I want you to cast all of it. In other words, you know, when you're having that fit, that's a great time to cast it. Because I used to have those fits. That's a great time to cast it. When you're having that fit, instead of saying all those other things, you need to call on Jesus. It was in one of those moments about anger, about being upset, that he delivered me. Hey, I love you. He delivered me. There was an incident. I have to share this. There was an incident that happened with my son when he was 8 or 9 years old. And the bed, it was a huge pine bed, bunk bed, and he was on the bottom bunk. I was in my bedroom talking on the phone, and all of a sudden I heard this thump. And when I heard the thump, then I heard, and it stopped me, because I called him, and then I told my, as a matter of fact, I was on the phone. My sister said, wait a minute. Hold on just a minute. When I went down the hall and went into the room and turned, my son was laid back with the thing on his chest. The bed was on his chest. It took two men to bring that bed up the stairs and put that thing up. But when I stood in that door, put my hand up, and I screamed, Jesus! I just went, Jesus! And I went there and got that bed up and pulled that boy out of there. And, of course, got him to the hospital, got him checked out and everything, made sure his chest was bruised, made sure nothing was going on with him. And later that night, while I was in bed, just thanking God that he was fine, the Holy Spirit whispered, now know today there's power in the name of Jesus. It is the one that's to save and set you free. And when he did that, I just wept. Because in that instant, in that time, he delivered me from cursing, all those MFs, all those other things. Just making it plain, telling me the truth. This is when I knew I was delivered. He did a similar thing when he stopped me from smoking Salem Light 100. He took it. I had a desire, but I couldn't break it. But only how God works it out to come to help us, to give us what we need, because if we cast our cares on him, then we give him permission to come in and do spiritual surgery on us. You've released the Holy Ghost. You've released the ministering angel for you to come so you can be whole, because it is his desire for us to what? To prosper, to be in health. What? And as our soul prosper, he wants us to have an abundant life that we can give him the glory. We cannot take any glory from him because of how he works it out. Okay? So now the third thing we want to do is, after we've acknowledged that, we have to control our temper. Mm-hmm. Let's look at Proverbs 19:11. I got my word. 19:11. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. What did it say? A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Oh, my, 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 my. Oh, my, 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 my. Oh, I needed that scripture a long time ago, but thank God to always causes me to triumph. And because I confessed my faults to him and told him how nasty I was, and I was tired of being that, itch with the big B on the front, I was tired of that. And he delivered me from it. And he can do the same thing for you. So he's saying to you that to be the bigger person when someone has said something that now you have become offended, now you are ticked off, or now you are that big P word off, you're all of those things. The word of God says, the kingdom prescription says for you to hold your peace. Now, they didn't spit on you, they didn't cuss at you, they didn't slap your face, because, I mean, some of us have to, be delivered in stages. Because I can't tell you to sit here, right now, and someone comes up and slaps me and spit in my face he's still working on me, I'm still delivered. Let's just tell the truth about this, okay? I haven't arrived there yet, but I'm working there. I have now learned in my emotions, and when I can feel my triggers, this is the key. Feeling the trigger and when it's rising up. You know when it's coming from the bottom of your feet, it's coming up and you're getting it. You feel it. So when that happens, I've learned now, I'm going to need to step out, or we're going to need to finish this at another time. This is not good for me right now. I'm really sorry, but I can't do it right now. And leave. I just told you 30 years worth of trial and error. And all kind of things, and fighting and fussing and cussing. And it doesn't even take all that. Because I've learned, in other words, what I just shared with you is this. You have a choice. You will, 90% of the time, you will have a choice. 10%, stuff happens. But once you have learned to modify the flesh and take every thought captive and take all of that mess and those strongholds, you have to take it captive. Focus on, you got to stop it. Can't do it today. Maybe you don't have it with as much grace as I have over these years now, but you have to let them know I have to go now. Okay, that's what the word says. So understand this still. We look at James. Look at James. Let's go to James 1:19-20. It says, understand this, my brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. So that's found James 1:19-20. So we understand that God knows, that's why we're in this dispensation of grace. Jesus is our propitiation. He is the mediator between God and man. Now, he's the ancestor. He was here. He was tempted. So he knows. He knows that sometimes we are just going to lose it. But if I don't say anything else, I want you to understand that when you do lose it, yeah, Barry, you know what I'm talking about. When you do lose it, and you are in that place, the godly wisdom, the Holy Ghost part of it is the one that checks you and tells you, come on, this is when you got to snap out of it. This is when you have to open your mouth and you have to say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, said, I ask you right now to bless Barry, bless Joe, bless him, whoever the offender was, whoever the person that you must pray for them. You got to pray for them. Because if you do not pray for them, you allow the enemy to get into your mind and have a battlefield and a playground up in there telling you about all of the things, trying to play those cards and play those old tapes and even give you some new ones, give you a whole brand new movie. It's kind of like, what was that, the one that said about Laughter Online? It says, emotions are event-driven. Key. While feelings are learned behavior that are usually in habitation until triggered by an external event. Okay. So you got the word. Now, it says in Luke 6:31, Luke says, do to others as you would like for them to do to you. That's why you got to come out of that mess. You've got to come out. Once you recognize that you have been in an explosive situation, because anything can happen that will happen, it will happen. Okay, what was that law? I forgot what they said, the Murphy's Law. Yeah, whatever. But, you know, it will happen. So I don't want you to be hard on yourself. The key here is to learn tonight to have healthy emotions is to know when you have had enough. You have to know when you've had enough. You have to be the bigger person to walk away. Okay, because when you overlook wrongs, all right, we treat others the way we want to be treated because we know that we're not always right. I love the Williams brothers that sweep around your own front door. That take 6 months to mind your own business and 6 months to leave others alone. No? So when we do this, we then have an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to do what he does best. And that's for him to sanctify us. Woo! He is the one that takes us through the process. And he will help you only if you want to be helped. So be the bigger person. Remember these four words. You have a choice. Don't let your anger control you. That's what I've been saying. Don't let it control you. God recognizes that sometimes we do get angry. Often, but we need to get angry to remedy a situation sometimes. And it's all right to be angry, but you have to know when the cap comes on. Because when it gets so hot that it's boiling, that it's come out of character, you need to shut down. You need to take a break, call time out. Truth. And to be the bigger person, Lord, help me to tell the truth in this, in getting healthy on this Monday night. When you recognize that you are about to be over the top, you need to have the last word, because I'm talking right now, and having the last word with that next stuff. Yes? Mm-hmm. Right. I always thought that having the last word, I won. Flesh. And now that I've learned about modifying the flesh and using wisdom and walking away and not really taking offense to come back later after you've prayed, after you've cooled off, and after you've asked God to help you in that area to understand. Men, listen, Luke 18:1, Jesus was walking with his disciples. He said, listen, boys, he said, listen, you should always pray and not faint. Don't assume, because you know what they say in the world. You know when you assume, you make a you out of and a hmm. You know that, right? Yeah, let's talk about it. Mm-hmm. So we do not want to assume. That's why I love just face-to-face, sit down, comfortable, not confronting, but carefronting. Carefronting is a whole different experience, because when you care for someone, you are doing it because you already have a relationship with them. You already love them as a member of the body of Christ. And you don't want to throw the whole thing out because there was one thing that was misunderstood. I know the Holy Ghost is teaching this good tonight. Not me. Because what he said, and don't let your anger control you, he said, listen, Romans 8:13, I love Paul. You know, Paul, when he was Saul, he was a bad boy. But he was also God's man. That in the New Testament, the man wrote most of the books, but look at who he used to be. That's why I'm sitting in this chair telling you about that itch that used to have a big B on the other end. The beginning of it is no longer that. Only by the grace of God, even all the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, all of that, I'm still here. I still have joy. He's taught me through it. Now, I love this. I hear people say this all the time. That, you know, what you went through wasn't for you, it was for someone else. And some of the time I used to tell them, well, I wish somebody else would go through this mess and not me. But only our Father God, who made us and created us in his image, knows exactly how to deliver us, knows how to grow us up. And a lot of times we grow in our stretching. When you're stretched, when you get to the place where your back is against the wall, I mean, you're down on the floor, you can't do anything to look up, that's the best place to be. Because the word of God promises us then. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Because I want you to know that not mourning just for someone that you have lost in a death, you can mourn a friendship. You can mourn a loss of other things and not just death of a person. But the promise is, you're going to be comforted. Because when you go to him and when you lay it out and it's just you and the Lord, oh, yes, he's going to speak to you. He's going to give you words that's going to build you up. That's when you're going to come to know him. That's when you're going to start developing intimacy. That's when you're going to be able to talk to him like I'm talking to you right now. You don't have to scream or holler. It's not all that you have to do. He just wants the heart. He just wants you to be real, your authentic self, to bring yourself in front of him because he already knows. But it is due to the obedience. It is due to the humility. It is due to believing and faith, knowing. You know Hebrews 11:6. Said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those that come to him, what? Must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. In other words, let me put a pin in here. Diligently, always continue in his faith, telling him how wonderful he is, telling him, giving him his word. He loves it when we give the word back to him. Romans 8:13 says it like this, and I have it in 1, 2, 3 different translations. The one is the King James Version. It is this. It says, if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Can I park that right here parenthetically right in, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify? Tap that right there. But if ye through the Spirit, that's when you're going to invite the Holy Spirit to come on. Because you know that it's too much for you. It's too big for you. You have been tussling with it, you have allowed it to rule you. Sometimes you recognize that you've made decisions that you've regretted because you were in that mode, and then you get haughty, you get prideful, The Bible warns us about that, because that comes just before a fall. That then is going to deal with your character. That means that others are going to view you about how you are going to react to that situation that came to you. So when you recognize that I need help, it is, you already have it. The Word of God tells us, our reference, greater is He that is in me or in you than he that's in the world. So that's where we get our help. So we can call on the name of Jesus, we can decree and declare, and we can acknowledge that I have this thing, but in the name of Jesus, I bind it right now. I declare it has to get out. I'm not having it in my temple. This body is the temple of God where the Holy Spirit dwells. Do you know that? Okay, we are not our own. But what? But we are created through Christ Jesus to do good work. So if your character is defined by your cussing, your character is defined by your bitterness, if your character is defined by your disgust, if your character is defined by your offensiveness, I tell you, there will not be much that you will be able to hold in your hand, and there will not be those that will enjoy themselves being in your presence, because they will then have learned who you really are. All right? So we want to talk about, what does mortify mean? I got to tell you right here. It says mortify the deeds of the body of the flesh. So mortify, let me give you one working definition. Mortify means that you are to change, starve, deny, close out the things that have caused you to be angry. So it's in our flesh because it's our feelings. And our soulish realm holds us a lot of stuff. But we know that that's not where we live. We are what? Spirit first. We live in a body and we got a soul. That's why I cried, God, save my soul, because at first, I did not understand. I did not have the knowledge, and I did not really have the wisdom on how to live this way. Having received salvation, I'm saved through Christ. That's my justification. But I'm being saved. That's my sanctification. That is the paraclete. That's the Holy Ghost job, to make us into who we really were created to be. He wants to bring us back, reel us in, have us to become the men and women of God that He can use, the gifts and talents that He's given us. I want to come back right here, because I wanted to share with you a revelation. It says, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, I want to tell you a revelation for but. B-U-T. Some time ago, the Holy Ghost brought this to me. B-U-T is bring you through. If you want to be brought through, and put it in the first person, bring you through. Bring you through, and then if, in faith, bring you through in faith, the Spirit of God that dwells in you, the same Spirit of God, Romans 8:11, the same Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, surely is going to bring you up, because you desire it, and it's His promise, and you're going to lay out. Oh, yeah. When you get real about it, you're going to lay out. You're going to turn down the plate. Oh, you're going to get real. You're going to put aside some time. You're going to fast the hell out of that thing? Yes, you are. Because if it remains in you, You then are going to be full of the hell that is going to wreak havoc in your character. And its whole desire is to steal, kill, and destroy the ministry that God has set forth from the foundation of this world for you to do. Nobody else can do what he's placed on your fingertips and your fingerprint. The authentic you, the way he wired you. No one can give this sister's testimony. No one can talk about the kingdom prescription the way that God, but me. Because why? When I was on the bed, when I was having a stroke, when I was going through all of that, he raised me up. He talked to me while I was down, flat on my back, to give me. He said, listen, I have a prescription for that. And the prescription first came out of Matthew 6:33. And then he gave me 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Okay. I mean, he just kept adding. He just gave me a script. These are my prescriptions. The prescriptions are the prescriptive word of God, the Logos, the word that's alive and powerful, the dunamis power of the word of God. And that's where you come with that anointing. When you get the word down on the inside of you, I show you. And when you start bringing it up, listen, he just ignited it and just started overflowing. That's when the fruit shows up. That's when deliverance happens. That's when miracles start happening in your life because you desire it. And I love this. And the final two definitions for mortify means to put to death or to take away. Now, I need to go right here and give you a little example. I have all this, and this is a part of that he gave me. This is all off the script. But let me say this. Psalm 4:4 says, don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't sin by allowing anger to control you. He's saying, but I need you to stop. I need you to pray, and I need you to wait on it. I need you to muse on it, because when you muse on it, when you pray on it, then you don't go out of your emotions and you don't say the wrong thing. I was going to share. Okay, I guess he'll bring it back. But I also want to share with you Ephesians 4:26-27. It says, don't let the sun go down. Here we go. This is it. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. Ouch, 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 ouch. For anger gives a foothold to the devil. Psalms 37:8 says, stop being angry, turn from your rage. I know that's the truth. Because after anger at a certain point, then it turns to be rage because you then either are feeling oppressed in the matter, you're being controlled that you can't say what you want to say, that you can't get your point across, that you want the last word. I mean, everything is well enough. And then the enemy is giving you a script. I mean, you know, listen, you just like a full-blown cannon. So you have to understand the word is true. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm. Psalms 37:8. We have the ability to, you have to choose. You have a choice. The word is giving us a way out how we are to be healthy. But when you're going to turn down that plate, that's where I was, you're going to turn down that plate, you're going to fast, and you're going to pray. And you're going to take time to sit down with God about that. You're going to take this script word. I know that we have a lot of stuff on our pad and on our computer and everything, but I tell you, nothing just really beats this right here. Get yourself a tablet, pen, and paper. Sit down. Set aside that time because that fasting and cleansing will do you good, will do your soul good. It will get all of that mess out of your soul. Replace it with the things that the script of God is telling us that he will supply for us. Yeah, he's not only supplying all of our needs according to his riches and glory, because you know when you think about the riches. Most of the people think about bling, bling, sing, sing. It's not about that. His riches and glory is peace, joy, temperance, long-suffering, gentleness, and all the like. When you develop those, there isn't anything else in the world like it. You can have all the money. You can have all of this. And I know someone is going to tell me because I feel you already. You can have all of that, but you don't have peace. We were just talking about, I don't know who it was recently, movie stars and people are taking their lives. You see, the riches of God is by his spirit. About what you need. He is the I am. He is everything that you need for you to live a prosperous, a peaceful, a healthy lifestyle, because that's what's designed for his people. But you're going to have to war after it. You're going to have to go after it, because the enemy doesn't care. I mean, all he wants you is first to steal, kill, and destroy you. That's his mission. Remember that. I don't care if he came in Genesis as a serpent, and Revelation it's a dragon. So, you know, he's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, that's why he's trying to enlarge the hell every day, because he's trying to fill them up with more and more of God's people. He's trying to trick us. So those emotions, that anger stuff, I cannot go off here. I've got about 7 more minutes. I cannot leave without approaching this one, because it says that we must forgive. Lord have mercy. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or, listen, or will come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Luke 6:37. Vengeance is Lord. The word of God says, vengeance is mine. So if we are going to be the condemners, we are going to be the ones that's going to be their adversary. We are the ones that's going to hold unforgiveness. We're going to be the ones that's going to just internalize stress, internalize hate, internalize jealousy. That's why we're having stroke. That's why we have diabetes. That's why we have high blood pressure. That's why we have all of these different illnesses, because we're not using the kingdom prescription for our situation. Real life situation. When you take Matthew 6:33 in the morning, that's right. And when you take Psalms 37:8 in the middle of the day, and when you take Ephesians 4:26-27 at night, when you take the other scripture, who's the one that talks to us about forgiveness, the one that talks to us about not letting the sun go down on our wrath. When you take overlooking the wrong, that's the one I want. Proverbs 19:11. When we take these, when we eat this, woo, how sweet it is. Because you then going to become that overcomer that he promises that we're going to be. So we have to forgive. I want you to understand that the forgiving is for us. But I love this, because the revelation is for, F-O-R. It's like when you see something that says therefore, it was before. Something was before that. So you're going to forgive, and you're going to give it. It means that you're going to for, and you're going to give, and you're going to separate whatever that thing was, and it's over. You're going to have to make a choice. You have to choose your fight. There's some things that, you know, you need to get clear the air about. I'm not saying that you are a doormat, and there's some things that's not going to be wrong. But if you have not learned how to, according to the scripture, to be quick to listen and slow to speak, if you haven't gotten that one, maybe this key tonight will help you to develop healthier emotions and to bind anger and not allow the sun to go down on your wrath and call truth. Be the bigger person. If the other person that is sitting in front of you now has become an offensive, I mean, it's become arrogant, it's become ugly, Nick said, excuse me, we're going to have to take this up at another time. I can't do it right now. But I love you, but I have to step away. And get your behind up. Not only do you flee fornication, you want to flee being cussed out. You want to flee, you know, when that thing that's coming to you, you want to flee all of that stuff that's going to show up. I don't even want to put tags on it because it's a lot of it. It's all intermingled. But it was like the university guy said, I love that, that talks about that our feelings are those learned behaviors that we learned a long time ago. And so we have to make sure that now we give ourselves something to put in place when we're unlearning, because that's part of growing a healthy emotion, is giving what the word says in the place of what our flesh feels like. Because the only way to kill it out and modify it is we're going to have to pray, we're going to have to fast, and we're going to have to watch. And when we do that, we will start developing, we'll start processing. And when we do that, we're going to get help. The riches are going to make us rich. I love this scripture that said the blessings of the Lord, what? The blessings of the Lord make us rich, what? And add what? No sorrow to it. Because when we come through that state where he's developing us, he's bringing us, he's stretching us, he's teaching us, and we're acknowledging it, and we're thanking him. Yeah, and sometimes you're thanking him in tears because sometimes it hurts. But you know how it is when you've watched your own child. You birthed them, you've watched them, you've talked to them about things, and it just, I don't care how long you talk to them, it just seems like you're going to have to do what the word said. He said that when you beat your child with a rod, they will not die. But just because we are adults, we're big folks, we're still God's children. He knows our heart. He knows every single thing about us. The word of God is powerful and quicker than any two-edged sword. I love it because he can even discern your very thoughts. So you're not fooling him. So you want to get healthy? I'm here to tell you. I want you to make sure that you also know how to call in on that 858-357-1937. You know, you can call in now, or you can put your comments in. Thank you. I see some of you are putting your comments in. But this is what we want to do on Healthy Monday. We want to take time and have a study about what God is saying about us, about what he wants his children to be, so we can be healthier, so we can do better on our job, so we can do better in our family. All right? Because he did not say it was going to be easy, but he said, but with faith, in faith, if you have faith, that you'll do it. If you believe me, you activate my words, I promise you that you will not be a hell raiser. I promise you that you will not be a murderer. I promise you that you will understand the power of being constrained by the Holy Ghost of God and have joy in the midst of things that will sometimes just make you seem like you just want to go off. But that's not who we are. So be rooted and grounded in the word of God, in love and in prayer. Take out time during your week to fast, even if you only fast 3 or 4 hours in one day. You need to fast and pray when you need deliverance. Because Jesus told his disciples, some of these only come out by what? By fasting and prayer. So fasting is not antiquated. Fasting is delivering. Fasting is strengthening. Fasting is modifying the flesh, killing it out. Put the scriptures out, write them out, put them in your car. And remember that we are not judging others. Our love. It says, Luke 6:35, I'm going to close out with this. It says, love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Y'all already know that because most of the folks ain't going to pay us no way. Take, then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Only God can do it. You're drawing them by your love. Listen, when he says love your enemy, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid, then your reward from heaven will be great. That's what we want. We want our reward to be great from him. And I want to leave this Mark 12, 30 and 31 is my last scripture. 12:30 and 31 says this. 30 and 31 says, Jesus answered this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Mark 12:30 and 31. Here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these two. I rest my case. I close the book. The judge has spoken. Father God. So I pray tonight that you've been blessed, that you've heard something that will prick your heart to start you to looking at what the Lord is wanting for our lives and to take control of those emotions that have pricked us and that have caused us to get into situations that you know that have been unhealthy and that has led us to situations that we have regretted. So I'm going to leave this thought with you. What the Word of God says in Jude, where is it? I always like to read it. Jude 24 said, to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, and to the only wise God, I say to be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forever. Now and forever. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, now, until next week, I want you to be blessed real good. Be sure to share this broadcast with your other friends if you know someone that has that's going through some of these triggers. This video may help them. I look forward to seeing some of you again on next week. On Monday night, you know, you can join us at the Common Touch Empowerment Center Ministries. Our Sunday services is at 9 a.m. right here with yours truly, right here. And that's at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, 9 to 10 a.m. I love you. I pray for you. And I ask you to do likewise for me, because it is the will of God that all of us be saved and for us to come into the knowledge of the truth so we can be blessed only by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love you. Kiss everyone. And Pastor Joe, kiss your queen for me. Will you please? All right, Annie and everyone.
You've been listening to Breaking Chains with Healthy Monday on YAT Radio.
Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, or call in
858-357-9137.
It's Breaking Chains, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.